Tonight's shiur is on this coming week's parsha, Parshas Vayishlach, and the title of the shiur tonight is Separating from Idolatry. So tonight we're going to look at the events that occur after the story of Shechem. And the story of Shechem, just as a refresher, is the story of where Dinah goes out and she's taken by Shechem, and the whole story of Levi, Shimon and Levi, how they duped the people of Shechem to do Bris Milah, and on the third day they killed everybody. And after that, Yaakov leaves the area of Shechem, and then this little tiny story or incident occurs in the Torah. So we're going to start with this incident referring to Avodah Zarah, and we'll try to understand it, hopefully. So if we look in source number one, Bereishis Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Aleph, it says, Vayomer Elokim el Yaakov, Kum Ale Veis El Veshev Sham, so Hashem says to Yaakov after this whole incident that he needs to go to Beis El, and he should remain there. And when he's there, he should make him his mizbeach to the God that appeared to him when he was escaping from his brother. So Yaakov says to his household, all of his children and his wives, that they should remove all of the foreign gods from amongst them, and they should become purified and change their clothes. And after you purify yourself and remove these foreign gods, then we'll all go to Beis El, and I'll make a mizbeach there to the God that appeared to me in my troubled state, and he was with me when I traveled. Vayitenu al Yaakov eis kol Elohen echar asher biyadam ve'esan nizamim asher ba'oznehem vayitmonu sam Yaakov tachas ha'ila asher im Shechem. So they all gave their Avodah Zarah stuff, their idols, to Yaakov, and Yaakov took all the jewelry and everything that was for Avodah Zarah, and he hid them, he buried them underneath this terebinth, which I think is a plant, which was in Shechem. So the story, just to summarize, is that first Hashem commands Yaakov that it's time to go back to Beis El and to dwell there, remain there. And then Yaakov instructs his household to remove the Avodah Zarah from amongst them. And they do. They give it to Yaakov, and Yaakov discards of the Avodah Zarah. So there's two questions that I think hopefully will tie together in the end of the shiur, but there's two main questions that I see in these psukim. So one of the questions is, why did Hashem have to tell Yaakov to do this? What exactly is Hashem saying to Yaakov? Why does he instruct him to go to Beis El and make a mizbeach? Usually, that's the job of the person to decide to make a mizbeach. It's like Avram didn't have to be told by Hashem to make a mizbeach. But yet, Yaakov is instructed. It's a tzivoy from Hashem. So why is this necessary? Why is it necessary for Hashem to tell Yaakov to go? Yaakov should do it on his own. So that's one question. And the other question is, what's the deal with the Avodah Zarah amongst the tribes and their families? Were they really involved in Avodah Zarah? And why do they have to remove it in order to go to Beis El? What was that concept? So those are the two questions. One is the nature of the tzivoy and why Yaakov has to be told to go to Beis El. And the second question is this idea of all the Avodah Zarah, the idols that they had, are we supposed to believe that the tribes at that time, the Shevatim and their children and their wives were all involved in Avodah Zarah to the point where Yaakov has to tell them to remove it? Why did he wait till this point if that was the case? So those are the questions. So we're going to take them up in order, but I think ultimately there's one answer. So let's look at the Radak on our Pasuk Aleph, source number two, and he gives us a little more info. He says, Nigla lo malach sham bishchem. So this angel appeared to Yaakov in Shechem and told Yaakov that he needs to repay the vow that he made. So why does the Pasuk say that he should remain there? It should just say that he should go there and make a mizbeach. Why is it that Yaakov should go there, remain there, and then make a mizbeach? So what's it teaching us? He needs to stay there to build a house that's dedicated towards Hashem, almost like a temple, which is what he was nodir, what he vowed to do. Viramas lo bezesh and nigla lo beshchem. And there was a hint to this in when this malach appeared to Yaakov and Shechem. Kizesh karalo bedavar bito v'bnei she'icher baderech. Ubana besukos bias v'kanalo beshchem chelkas hasada ki ilu haya rotzel hashevesham. And the remez was that what happened to Dina in Shechem, which was how she was taken by Shechem and she was abused, assaulted, that was because Yaakov had tarried on the derech and he almost was going to set up shop in Shechem. And it was, and Hashem, the Malach, is telling him that because you didn't go directly to Beis El, so because of that, that's why this happened to you with Dina, this whole story. V'hu hayalo lovo derech yashar le-Beis El le-Shalem Nidro. What Yaakov should have done was that as soon as he left Lavan's house, he should have gone straight to Beis El, fulfilled his neder, his vow, and then afterwards gone straight to his father. So, because he didn't do that, he was punished with this. Even though the Radak says that Yaakov was punished for his fear of even though Hashem had promised him over and over again, but this is also a cause of the chait, or this is also a cause of the onesh, of this punishment. So the Radak says that the punishment for Yaakov tarrying and for not going directly to Beis El and also to his father was that Dina was assaulted and she was taken, and the whole story of Shechem emerged. So of course, the question that we can ask on the Radak is, what's the relationship between Dina and what happened to Dina and Yaakov's flaw here? So what was the flaw exactly of Yaakov? Why did he have to be told that he needs to go to Beis El? And why was he punished so harshly for this flaw? It seems like this shouldn't have happened. I mean, it's one thing to punish Yaakov, but you know, for Dina to be assaulted, to be kidnapped, that's a pretty harsh punishment for taking your time on the road. So what exactly is the nature of this? What's the relationship? Usually it's mida keneged mida. There's some idea in the nature of the punishment. So what exactly is that concept? So keep going in the Radak. Lakela nirei lecha zosha omar v'nei Hashem nitzav alav v'amar lo amalach shiyasim izbeach lakel yisbarach shanira alav b'veis el. So the Malach is reminding him that before, when Yaakov was running away from Esav, he went to this place, Beis El, and he had made a neder, and his neder was that he was going to come back, and as long, if Hashem protected him, we'll see it inside the Psukim, that he was going to come back and build a Beis El Akim, a temple, and he was going to build a Mizbeach. So we're going to go to those Psukim indirectly. Bevarach Achal Klomar, Zachor Shayisa Yechidi Boreach, V'hu Nira Lecha B'Beis El, V'avtichacha Lehatev Lecha, L'sham Lecha B'chol Asher Telech, V'chein Asa, Gam Ata Shalim Lo Nadarcha Shenadarta. So the Malach was saying, Hashem was saying to Yaakov, remember that you were alone and you were scared of your brother destroying you, and Hashem protected you. Now you have to do what you promised to do, which is to go back to Beis El and build a Mizbeach and build a Beis El Akim. So again, the same questions. I don't really have to say them again. The same questions. Radak is very strange, very bizarre. So if you look in Rashi in source number 3, he echoes the same exact shot of the Radak. And he says, Rashi says, "Kum ale lefisha acharta baderech neneshes ubalucha zos mibitcha." Because you tarried, because you took your time, that's why this bad thing happened to Dina, and that's why you were punished. Again, so the Rashi he says the same thing as the Radak, and it's a similar question, which is, what does one have to do with the other? The Sifsei Chachamim also he just explains Rashi as usual, and he says in source number 4. If that weren't the case, why did Hashem have to, you know, command him to go? Haluk for another Yaakov alzeh. Yaakov knew. He already made a neder. Of course, Yaakov intended to fulfill his neder. We're not saying he's a rasha. So why was there a need to be mitzaveh him? Oh, it's to teach you that there was actually a real flaw here, and he was punished for it. Elohachi kamarle mahar v'ala v'altis acher od. He's saying, just speed up and stop wasting your time. Aval al ichura beveis Lavan lo nenash. Yaakov was not punished for taking his time in the house of Lavan. Levish lo chal haneder alav. The neder, the vow, was not chal on him. It was not upon him to fulfill. Ela mishiyatzo lashiv. Only when he left Lavan, that's when now he had this imperative to fulfill the vow, and he should have done it directly. Kedoshev ishafti b'shalom. So the question is, again, same questions. Okay, so why was he commanded? And furthermore, what does Dina have to do with the situation? So let's look at what they say is the source of Yaakov's vow, which is the starting point. And if we understand the nature of his vow, then maybe we can have some insight into how to answer these questions, but also tie in the Avodah Zarah stuff, because it's all one piece. So Radak says, but let's read the Pesukim, source number 5. It says at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, last week's Parsha, Vayidar Yaakov neder leimor im ye elokim imadi ushmarani baderech hazeh asher anochi oleich v'noson li lechem lechol veged lobosh. So Yaakov made a neder is a vow, and he said that if Hashem is with me and he protects me on the path that I'm on, and he provides me with food, basic food and dress, v'shavti v'shalom abisavi v'ayashem li lelokim, and if I return home to my parents, to my father, then Hashem will be my God, which is a weird type of neder. Of course Hashem is going to be your God no matter what. And he says that this stone that I made as a monument will become, or will be the foundation of a temple, of a house to Hashem. And everything that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So the question is, what exactly was the nature of Yaakov's neder? You know, why did he make this neder? What was he afraid of? And furthermore, why was the promise tied to building a mizbeach and building a temple or a house to Hashem? You know, what is the nature of this promise, this vow? So the Radak, again, we're using a lot of Radaks tonight. So number 6, the Radak says, "Vayidar neder nadar ha neder al tanai." So Yaakov vowed this vow al tanai on condition. So he didn't create this condition that basically if Hashem brings me back, then I'll build all this stuff and he'll be my God. He didn't say that because he didn't trust that Hashem would fulfill his promise. Because he knew, obviously Yaakov knew that if Hashem promises something, he's going to fulfill his promise. So what was the nature of this vow? Ella. Yaakov was nervous that somehow he would be involved in sin and he would lose the zechus, the lo yahavtacha kayemes. And because Yaakov would be involved in sin, he would lose out on this promise that Hashem had made. And as a result, he wouldn't be able to do what he needed to do, to go back to his father and fulfill his vow. So what was the fear of Yaakov? The fear of Yaakov was not that he was going to be killed by Esav, but that he was afraid of chet. That if he had a chet, that if he did something wrong, so then Hashem would remove his ashkacha from Yaakov, and somehow Yaakov would be, damaged, or he wouldn't be able to come back and fulfill this vow. He wouldn't be able to go back to Beis El. So the question on this is, what exactly was his fear? Why did he all of a sudden fear this chet? What was the nature of the fear? And why does he have to make a neder to satisfy this fear? So the Radak, one more Radak, and then we'll start opening it up a little bit, but I kind of want to save the answer for the very end. It's just one answer. So the Radak says in source number 7 that Vishafti Bishalom Biisha Uvavanim Kizulasam Lo Yashalom Velo Lo Velo Aviv Lo Imo Kihulo Yuchal Lakachas Isham Ibnos Kanan. So one of the aspects of Yaakov's vow was that he returned to his parents with a family, because he wasn't allowed to marry from Benos Kanan. And v'hayashem li lelokim. So one of our questions was, what does it mean that Yaakov is vowing that Hashem will be his God? Of course, Hashem will be his God. It shouldn't be dependent on whether or not Hashem protects him or not. So we don't believe in Hashem just because he does things for us that are good or bad. We should believe in Hashem because we think that he is the God. That he is God, and he created the universe. So what does it mean? So if you look at the Radak, he says, "Vayashem li lelokim, rotzel lomar shiem isbode lavoros haelokim, v'lo yisasek od beiske olam kol yamav." So Yaakov's vow was that he would no longer be involved in the matters of the world, and he would dedicate himself to Hashem, solely to Hashem. The od nadar shamakom shahu shesombo even matzeva ye beis elokim. The other thing that he vowed was that the place that he put up the monument will be a house for Hashem, Klomar, Sheyivne Sham Bayis Umizbeach. He'll build a house and a Mizbeach, an altar, Lavo Sham Kol Oved Elokim Lispalo Vilavod Sham Elokim Below Luzulaso. That all the worshippers of Hashem will come to and only daven to him. And only give sacrifice. O Pirusho Yabes Elokim Sheitzav Elavonav. The other possibility is that he would command his children, Ki Berishtam Haaretz, when they inherited the land, Yasu Sham Bayis Elokim, that they should make a house for Hashem. So the Radak says that Yaakov, he basically promised not that Hashem would be his God, but that he would dedicate himself completely to Hashem, almost like Terasso Umnasso, that he has no involvement in the world. And furthermore, he would build this house, almost like a shul, which would be a place for all the people who worshipped Hashem to go to. So again, it's very, or he would command his children to do the same. So, you know, why did he do this? Why did he think that this was the cure to his fear? Why did he make this vow in the first place? It seems very odd. I mean, why did he choose this as his vow? That if Hashem brings him back, not only will he dedicate himself completely to Hashem, but he'll also build a bayis le'elokim. You know, how did he come up with this idea? What does it have to do with anything? So that's the question. All right, so the last point in this Radak is also very interesting. It says, V'chol asher titein li aser asrenulach. The end of the vow is that everything that Yaakov gets from Hashem, which is going to be given, he's going to give a tithe, a tenth. So, klomar, etein maiser marachush me'amiknash titein li, v'et nenu la'anoshim shi'itztarchu me'yir elokim v'ovdim oso. So he says that when he says, I'm going to give a tenth to you, he's going to support those who want to serve Hashem exclusively. It's almost like a kollel system here that the Radak is proposing that Yaakov is vowing. He's going to build this bias, and he's for people to worship Hashem, and he's going to support those who fear Hashem and serve Him. So he's creating this mini kollel. That's his vow. The Amru ki gam al abanim amar shi aser. So too, in the Medrash it says that he was going to take a percentage of his children and dedicate that person, that tribe, to Hashem. Who was that? V'chenaya Levi. Levi was chosen by Yaakov. Hamaser she haya misasek ba'avodas hakel yoser mishar echav. Levi was chosen by Yaakov as the shevet that was going to learn more than his brothers and be involved in avoda. V'lamdi Yaakov b'hisbodido umasar lo sodos hatorah v'chachma. So Yaakov learned with Levi. Levi was his chavrusa. And he gave Levi all these secrets of Torah and Chachma. Umasha Amar Aser Asrenu Lach. So why does it say that I'll give you a tithe? Ki hu derech lekasav v'chazer hamakor imapol l'chazek hapa'ulos. Kimo shamoa tishmu. So that's the way of the Torah. It doubles it up, the language. Aser Asrenu, shamor tishmarun. V'adom amlehem rabin. There's a lot of cases. So the second point the Radak is making is that Yaakov, not only did he say he was going to support these people who are worshipping Hashem, but furthermore, he said that he was going to set aside one of the tribes, one of his sons, which was Levi, in order to solely be dedicated to Hashem. So again, what's the idea that Yaakov had in mind? Why did he choose this as his vow? And he says, "V'chazal asu smach b'zeh pasuk v'amru harotz levazvez minachas al v'tztaka ayivazvez yoser mechomesh." Person should not give more than a fifth. Sha'amar aser asrenu shnei asirios hu achomesh u'mino mizeh kedesh lo yitzarech u'labrios. So they learn out as an asmachta that a person is not supposed to give too much tzedakah, because if he does, he might end up in a situation where he'll be relying on people to support himself. He can't do that. So you should only give a certain percentage, a tenth, aser, a miser. So again, just to summarize Radak, the Radak says that Yaakov was afraid not of Esau, but afraid of chet. So what kind of idea is that fear of chet? How do we explain that? Why was he afraid of it? And second of all, he promises to dedicate himself solely to build a house for Hashem, for all of the Yireim Hashem, the Yirei Hashem, those who fear Hashem. He's going to support these people. And also, and or, he says that he's going to separate Levi as a result of Hashem saving him from the situation. So what do these have to do with him being saved from the situation that he was going into? You know, what exactly is the nature of the vow? Just basic. So again, just to summarize, up to this point, we had the question was, why did Hashem command Yaakov to go to Beis El? Usually the tzaddik does it on his own. He has to fulfill a neder. Of course, Yaakov would have fulfilled the neder. So what exactly was the nature of this? And the Chazal say that he was punished to the point where the whole assault of Dina was because Yaakov didn't do this. He was tarrying. He was taking too long. So why did that happen? what's the relationship between Yaakov's flaw and Dina. And then we see that in the actual neder that he had to be Meshalim, it's a very interesting, strange neder in that, A, he's promising if he's returned that he's gonna dedicate himself fully to Hashem. He's going to build a house of worship. He's going to support those who worship Hashem, or he's going to separate Levi. And what was his main fear? His fear was chet. So all those things need to be explained. And all of them will be explained by the end of the share. So one other point, and then we'll get to the Avodah Zarah stuff, and then we'll put everything together. So if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, the Rambam, he agrees with the Radak, and he says, it's the middle of the halacha, so I didn't bring in the whole halacha, but V'yitzchak hodiyah liYaakov, uminahu lilmod v'yeshev v'lamein u'machzik kol nilva me'lav. So Yitzchak was Yaakov's Rebbe, and he taught him how to, he learned with him. V'Yaakov avinu lamad banav kulam. Yaakov taught his children what he had learned from Yitzchak. V'hivdil Levi, and he separated Levi. Uminahu rosh, he made Levi the head. V'oshivu b'yeshiva lilmod derech Hashem v'lishmor mitzvos Avram. Levi was sent to yeshiva, or he was the main learner of the Shvatim, in order to learn the Derech Hashem and to follow the mitzvahs of Avram. Mitzivas banav shaliyafsiku mibnei Levi memuna achar memuna kedil shalotishka halimud. And Levi was in charge of making sure that learning would never be forgotten amongst Klal Yisrael. Therefore, every Levi had to appoint the next Levi to be in charge of this task. V'haya davar holech misgaber v'nei Yaakov nilvim aleihem v'nasis ba'olam uma shiyodasis Hashem. And all this ended up resulting in an ummah, in a nation that knew Hashem. So the Rambam adds in a little bit more, but he says that Levi was appointed by Yaakov to be the ones to who he entrusted the Torah to. In fact, at the end of Devarim, it says that Moshe had written a Sefer Torah and he gave it to Levi because Levi was in charge of this task. But all the other Shvatim complained to Moshe, and Moshe was happy and he wrote a Torah for them too. But we see from there that Levi was really the Sheva that was separated for this purpose. But again, what does it have to do with Yaakov in the situation of Tzara? Why was he thinking about this at all? So that's the question. So the next part, I'm not going to answer the question yet. The next part is the Avodah Zarah stuff. So the question is, before they go to Beis El to fulfill the Neder, Yaakov instructs the people, the children, and their wives to remove Avodah Zarah from amongst them. So the question is, you know, were they really involved in Avodah Zarah, and what's the commandment of Yaakov in this situation? So the Ramban in source number 9 says, V'shev sham ba'asi sham izbeach. So Hashem says to Yaakov, when you go to Beis El, just stay around there, don't leave too quickly. Lo yadati mahu v'shev sham. So I don't know why Hashem told Yaakov to just remain there. V'yitachin shetzivo la'shev sham t'chila, v'arkach yaseh mizbeach litar me'avodah Zarah. So he said to Yaakov to go there and live there first, and then afterwards create a mizbeach, build a mizbeach, in order to purify yourself from Avodah Zarah, o min achalolim shehargu, or from the dead bodies that were killed in Shechem. Ki'inyon v'atem chanu michutz l'machaneh shivas yamim. So first, by Tahara, you have to stay outside of the camps for 7 days. Kilot sivu adayim b'meichatas. They didn't have any way to be metahir. So basically, the Ramban's learning that Hashem is instructing Yaakov to go to Beis El and purify himself in the way that they could back then, and then build the Mizbeach. V'Yaakov nizdaris b'mitzvah litar term bo'usham. But Yaakov, he was mizaris, he was quick to be involved in Tahara and purification before they got to Beis El. O'sheyeh v'nakum v'nale Beis El mukdam m'maisa v'ulay tziva v'shev sham l'fanos machshavas l'davka bakel. So it's not clear why he did that. But the Ramban hints to the idea that Yaakov saw it necessary to purify him and his children by removing the Avodah Zarah before they went to Beis El in order to build the Mizbeach in Tahara. So the question is, what were they doing with the Avodah Zarah? You know, why was Yaakov, who was this leader of this great nation that was supposed to be a representative of Hashem, you know, what were these individuals doing with the Avodah Zarah? So the Ramban keeps on the same path, and he says, "Vayitmono sim Yaakov, avodah zara mishamsheh einam min anekbarim, aval tzarach sheh mefar vezora leruach o matad liyom." When you have avodah zara, you have to destroy it completely. Either you have to grind it up into powder and throw it into the wind, or you have to throw it into the sea, but you can't just bury it. Vanira Eli, so what did Yaakov, what was Yaakov doing by burying it? Vanira Eli, ki b'nei Yaakov l'lachlo avodah zarah, misham shem, mishchem, achin isbatla v'hutra lehem. So the answer was that after the destruction of Shechem, the tribes, the Shvatim, took the avodah zarah of Shechem, and it was already misbatel, meaning they nullified it. They weren't using it for avodah zarah, and it was really technically mutter for them to use for their own purposes. It wasn't, it was just gold. Let's say it was a gold cup or a gold pot. They could use that. Sha'akum mevatel avodah zarah bal korcho. You can force a non-Jew to nullify his avodah zarah, and then you can use it. V'inehi mutaris lahem. Really, they were allowed to use the items that they found in Shechem because they were no longer designated for avodah zarah. Aval Yaakov tziva lahasir osa l'taharas hakodesh shiruyim lavodas Hashem. But nevertheless, even though these items that they picked up were really mutter to them, Yaakov instructed them to remove them because they were getting involved in serving Hashem ulahakar l'fanav korban and to bring a korban. Kasher tziva lahem b'tvila v'chilof b'gabegadim. That's why kvura was enough. That's why you could bury them because they weren't technical of avodah zarah. So the Ramban says something that makes the whole story even harder. So the Ramban explains that the tribes, the Shvatim, after the story of Shechem, they went into Shechem and they looted Shechem, and some of the items that they took were really once used for avodah zarah, but they forced the people in Shechem to nullify them, to say out loud that they're no longer designated for avodah zarah, and in that way, a Jew can use the items. So really, from the Torah standpoint, what they had was really mutter. They weren't involved in avodah zarah, but they had taken items that were once used for avodah zarah for private use. So let's say, as I said, let's say they had a bull that was part of their service of avodah zarah. Once it's nullified, once it's no longer designated, so now the Jews can use it. But for some reason, Yaakov decided that they have to get rid of it in order to go back to Beis El and make this Mizbeach. So the question is, you know, why? Why did Yaakov think that they had to remove it if really it's mutter? The Ramban says it's mutter for them. So why was Yaakov insistent on this idea of them removing the Avodah Zarah? So that's another question that we have to ask. So again, the Avodah Zarah wasn't that they were worshipping it. It was rather items that they had picked up from Shechem. And in doing so, which were nullified from Avodah Zarah, in doing so they were able to use them. They're really mutter, but yet the Ramban says that Yaakov insisted that they remove them and he buried them because he didn't have a halacha that he had to destroy them, but he buried them. So why was he so insistent on them getting rid of their avodah zarah items when they weren't using them for avodah zarah? They weren't no longer designated for that purpose. So that's the question. And furthermore, just one last point. We're almost to the end. The Ibn Ezra says in on the Parsha, Hasiru es Elohen Echar, Chalila chalila sheyishkav hanavi im avodas Elohei anechar. So it can't be that Yaakov was sleeping in the same area that avodah zarah was. Upirusho timsenu beparshas vayelach Moshe vihi taharo sheyirchutzu aguf v'achalifus umosechem amakom azeh nilmod shechayv kol yisrael kasher yelach lehispala lomakom kavua lios gufo naki umabusho nekiyim. So the Ibn Ezra says that we learn from this story that it wasn't the same idea as the Ramban. It wasn't that they were involved in avodah zarah, but it's to teach you that before you go to Davin, you have to prepare yourself. You have to change your clothes. You have to have nice, clean clothes. You have to prepare yourself. So the Ibn Ezra is saying that it wasn't an idea in avodah Hashem in terms of korbanos, but rather Yaakov was teaching them this lesson that before you go to Davin to Hashem, you have to remove all these. You have to set yourself up properly and wear nice clothing and clean your body. So all these things were part of the instruction of Yaakov. But the same question is that once you say that it's mutter for them, once they're allowed to have these items, why were they so troublesome? Why do you have to remove them to either worship Hashem or to daven to Hashem? Okay, and Rashi agrees with this, so we don't have to read Rashi. And the last point is number 13. The Torah Tmima says v'hi taharu milami da avodah zarah mitzhama v'aporesh mimena ba'i tefila. So this teaches us the fact that Yaakov says that you have to purify yourself teaches us that avodah zarah requires tefila. You have to go to the mikvah to remove yourself from avodah zarah. So what does that mean? So the Torah Tmima says v'zehu tam l'tefilas ger. When a person converts to Yahadus, they have to go to the mikvah. Why? To purify themselves from avodah zarah. V'yeh mizek tzas raya l'das Ramban hamuva And this is a good proof that if a ger did tvila, let's say they went into the mikvah before the mila, it's still good. Why? Because the tvila functions to remove the person from avodah zara. The lo al hachnisa lihadas, but it's not the tvila. The immersion is not in order to become Jewish. It's to remove the person from the avodah zara they were involved in. The imkain ein nafkamina im tavo kodim or achar amila. That's why it doesn't matter. So the first point is another question. The tvila, that avodah zara requires tvila. It requires immersion. And one of the ideas of tevila is by geras. When a person becomes a ger, the function of tevila is not really to become Jewish, but it's to remove yourself from avodah zarah. So the last question of the shir is, you know, how does this work? How does tevila remove the person from avodah zarah? And that's the question. And then the Torah Tamima asks questions on the Ibn Ezra as to, I'm not going to read it inside, but how he can learn out from here that you're supposed to prepare yourself for tefillah. We see that you learn out from other psukim. So it's another question on the Ibn Ezra. You know, why does he learn it out from here? Okay, so we have a lot of questions. Hopefully everybody remembered them. But I'm going to just restate all the questions and then give the main idea of the shir, which I think it fits in to all these questions. So the first question, back to the top. First question is, you know, why did Hashem have to tell Yaakov to go back to Beis El to fulfill his neder? Of course, he was going to go. So, you know, what exactly was the need on the part of Hashem to tell him? And then the Radak and Rashi explain that the reason why he had to be told is because he was flawed in this situation. And the flaw was that he took too much time. And as a result, Dina was captured, kidnapped, assaulted. So the question that we had was, you know, what's the relationship between Yaakov's flaw and what happened to Dina? You know, why should one lead to the other? Then we looked at the nether itself. And the nether itself is very strange, according to the Radak, which is that Yaakov, for some reason, he's afraid of sinning. So why was he afraid of sinning? And second of all, what is the whole idea of the nether in that he's promising to build a bias for Hashem, to dedicate himself completely to Hashem, and also, according to the Medrash, set aside Levi? What does that have to do with Hashem bringing him back and saving him from the situation? Why was this the appropriate response? And then the Ramban's approach and the idea of the Avodah Zarah is one last question, which is that the Avodah Zarah itself seems to be mutter because it wasn't Avodah Zarah. It was just items that were once used for Avodah Zarah but were nullified by the non-Jews, which is allowed in the Torah, and that's why they were buried and not destroyed. But even though they were mutter, Yaakov insisted on them removing the Avodah Zarah before they went to Beis El to worship, or according to the Ibn Ezra, to daven. So what was the need for... Why was there a need for this removal? What's the idea behind it? And then, the last question is this idea of tevila. What's the function of tevila? Why is the function of tevila regarding removing a person from avodah zara? What does it have to do with avodah zara? Why is that function for avodah zara? So those are all the questions. Anybody have any possibilities? So let me just give one word over, one idea. The idea is environment. That's what I'm going to start with, the environment. So what do I mean by that? So let's go back to the beginning, the first question. So the question was, what exactly was the nature of Yaakov's flaw here? And why was Dina punished? And furthermore, what was the nature of the nether? Maybe we could put all those parts together and then we could look at the Avodah Zarah stuff. So we should start with the nether. So what was the nature of the nether? Why was he afraid of chet? So I want to say that really the fear of chet was tied to the idea that Yaakov, he understood the dangers of the surrounding environment when he traveled, not from a physical standpoint, but from a philosophical standpoint. Meaning, when you travel and you're around other cultures, other societies, especially being in loved one's house, so you have to recognize that these outside environmental factors have a deep effect on your psyche and a deep effect on you. And you can't underestimate the effect of the environment on a person's philosophical level, on a person's belief in Hashem. So all these things, even if you don't think that they're important or strong, but Yaakov recognized the possibility, and he didn't. The point of the neder was that he didn't underestimate the potential effects on his psyche, on his personality, of being surrounded by other societies, by other cultures. And that's what he was afraid of. That's why it says that he wasn't afraid of being killed. He was afraid of chet. What was the source of his fear of chet? That now he's going on the derech, he's traveling, and he's going to Lavan's house. He's going to be surrounded by Lavan. In fact, that's one of the limudim that we learned, that even in Lavan's house he kept tarjag. But nevertheless, there was a fear there that Yaakov had, that the environment that he's surrounded with will have an effect on him. And even though he obviously believed in Hashem, and he was a tzaddik, but even the tzaddik has to recognize the effects of culture, of outside culture. So what was the vow? The vow was that if Hashem assisted him in terms of protecting him from the influence of the outside culture, so he would create a system or a society where the environment would be an environment of worshiping Hashem. So that's the idea of the Beis Elokim and the idea of Levi. The idea of a Beis Elokim is like a shul. A shul becomes a central meeting place. It's a foundation of a community. And we need a shul as much as we need the shul, because the shul provides us with an environment. It creates an environment for the community as a whole of Torah, of Yahadus. And so too, you need the teacher, you need a Levi, you need an individual that ensures the survival of the system and teaches. So the idea of Yaakov's expressing is that if Hashem prevents the influence of the cultures from affecting him, he is going to create a situation, an environment which is conducive to worshiping Hashem. The opposite of the outside cultures, he's going to create a culture of Yahadus. And that's the idea of the Beis Elokim, a place where people can come to worship, where they're not influenced by outside, but rather they're in an environment of Torah. They're in an environment of the true philosophy of Hashem. So that's the relationship between Yaakov's fear and Yaakov's vow. Yaakov's fear was that the environment would influence him, and his vow was that if you prevent the environment from influencing me in a crucial way, then I'll create a society, I'll create an environment that's conducive to worshiping Hashem. It's the antithesis of what he was afraid of. So then that's why the different midrashim by Levi was part of that society, or building a bias, and he himself worshiping God and dedicating himself, meaning that he was going to create this environment, create this opportunity to allow the surrounding to influence you in a positive way, as opposed to being a negative influence. So now we can understand all the issues here. So one issue was, so what was the flaw of Yaakov? Why did he have to be told that he had to go to Beis El? And what happened to Dina? Why was that related to his flaw? It seems like after Yaakov was able to survive in Lavan's house, perhaps Yaakov was immune to the dangers of influence of outside culture. Meaning before he left, he understood that the outside culture would perhaps influence him and affect him in a negative way. But once he had endured it, so now if you live in a culture that's really a negative culture, an idolatrous culture, and yet you're still able to be okay and you're still able to worship, so then you underestimate the effect of culture on you, because you experienced it and you survived it. So after Yaakov left Laban's house, he should have still retained that fear of the influence of the environment, not just regarding him, but also with regard to his children. And because he had experienced, or because he had survived the house of Lavan, when he left Lavan's house, he didn't really view the influence of the outside environment in the same manner as he did beforehand. He seemed to be a little more immune to it. He thought perhaps that he could live and his children could live in a society that was surrounded by Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So the idea of Dina is tied to that. So Dina went out. The Torah says that she went out. Vatitzei Dina bas Leah. And of course the Medrash says she was like her mother. She was a Yatsanis. But what do we see about Dina going out? See, she was intrigued by the outside world, the outside society, and she was ensnared by it. So Yaakov's flaw was that he underestimated the influence of the outside culture after he had lived and survived through Lavan's house. And he shouldn't have. He should have retained this idea that outside culture, especially at this moment in the development of Klal Yisrael, was really crucial to the Jewish people. But instead, he underestimated its danger. And because he underestimated its danger, we see by his children, by his daughter Dina, that she was intrigued by it and she went out. What's the idea of Ateitze? It means that she was she saw that there was something there. She was ensnared by it. She was seduced by the outside culture of Shechem. So that was Yaakov's flaw. Yaakov's flaw was that A, when he made the nether, he realized how dangerous the outside world was, and then afterwards, when he survived Lavan's house, then he underestimated its danger, and that's why he tarried, and the tarrying was a flaw to the point where his children were affected by outside world, and that's why what happened to Dina was related to his flaw. So now we can also understand with that, one last point, the Avodah Zarah and the Tevilah. See, even though the Avodah Zarah was mutter, technically, but Yaakov realized that in creating an environment, in creating a society, you have to remove any outside distractions, anything that could be a negative influence, that could be something that could draw a person out, has to be removed in order to purify the environment, to purify the ability to create a situation where there's an environment of Hashem, an environment of learning, of Torah. So even though these things were halachically mutter, but philosophically, Yaakov recognized after Hashem told him about this flaw and that he has to go to Beis El, now Yaakov focuses his energy on the negative influences of even something that was mutter, the negative influence of Avodah Zarah. So he's telling his children that even though it's mutter to you, be aware of the dangers. Be aware of the danger of being seduced by the Avodah Zarah, even though it's mutter. And that's why he removed it before going to Beis El. And that's why a non-Jew requires tevilah when he's going to the mikvah to remove yourself from Avodah Zarah. It doesn't necessarily mean from doing the Maisa Avodah Zarah, but it means from the influence. You have to recognize the influence of the culture of Avodah Zarah on you. And doing tefillah is like creating you anew, is like creating a new person, meaning that you're separating yourself from that influence, from that environment of Avodah Zarah, and that's why tefillah is necessary, and that's why before you daven, before you worship Hashem, you have to remove any potential distraction, any potential influence that's harmful, you have to remove from your environment, you have to remove from your situation. So that was what the story with the Avodah Zarah was, and that's how it relates to the beginning of the shir. So that's the end of the shir. So let me just summarize the main point. We had all of these questions. I'm not going to go through all the questions again, but the basic idea I was trying to express is that Yaakov, at first, you know, he recognized the danger of outside culture, and he was fearful of it, and he vows in a way where he expresses this fear, because his vow was that when he comes back, he's going to create an environment, a culture, an environment of Torah, of Hadus. And Levi was also tied to that idea that you always have a teacher, and a bias, a shul, or a place to learn and to daven is similar. And Yaakov's flaw was that after he had survived Lavan's house, he was somewhat immune to the effect of outside culture. And he didn't realize that it was really harmful to his children. And Dina was the expression of that concept, that Dina went out, meaning she was ensnared, seduced by the outside world. And then after Yaakov is commanded to go to Beis El, and he recognizes this flaw, that's why he tells his children to remove themselves from Avodah Zarah, because this is an expression of the fact that Yaakov was now aware of the danger of idolatrous culture, and therefore, even though technically these things are halachically mutter, He commanded his children to remove this negative influence, to be aware of the environment around you and remove it from you in order to really worship Hashem properly in the proper environment. So I think that's the answer to hopefully all the questions. All right. So if you have any questions, just feel free to ask. And if not, everyone have a good Shabbos, and thank you.